The Baseball Bat, Chapter 6, Part 2. Saturday morning came, and I couldn't wait to get to the field. There was a game field set up in the back of Shepherd of the Lakes Lutheran Church. I put my t-shirt and hat on proudly. Stan and I were the first to get to the field, so we started playing catch. We were the away team, so we got to bat first. The Dodgers pitcher was struggling to get the ball over the plate. He walked Art on four pitches. Art stole second on the first pitch. Art and Stan were the two fastest runners on the team. Stan got up and walked too. Joe swung at a couple bad pitches and struck out. If only I had been in the third spot, I thought. Will was up next and hit a ground ball past third base for a double. Art scored and Stan went to third. Will then stole second on the first pitch. Paul hit a ground ball to the second baseman, who threw him out, but Stan scored and Will went to third. It was my turn. I stepped in wanting to hit, even though I could hear the coach saying, "Pick a good pitch." The first pitch looked good enough to me, and I hit a ground ball toward short. I took off running as fast as I could. The shortstop bobbled it a little and then threw to first base a little late. I had beaten it out. Yes, I will record this as an infield hit, I thought. Since I keep my own stats, I am my own official scorer. So it was ruled a base hit. And also, I get an RBI, run batted in, because Will scored. I'm hitting 1,000. On the first pitch, I tried to steal. Luckily, I slid in before the second baseman could tag me. I would be able to add a stolen base to my stat sheet. I didn't end up scoring, but we led 3-0. I got up to bat 3 more times in the game. The next time up, I grounded to the pitcher for a putout at first base. My third time up, there was a runner on second, and I hit a ground ball between short and third. The shortstop got his glove on it, but deflected it out and back a third. By the time the left fielder got it, I was at second for my first double and another RBI. Again, if it doesn't sound like a solid double, I was my own official scorer and I erred on the side of my favor. I ended up scoring this time after an error by the other team on Dave's ground ball. The last time up that day, the relief pitcher missed badly on the first two pitches, and I could hear Coach yelling, "Tom, good eye." I ended up walking and getting another stolen base. Stan, who had come on to pitch in the fourth inning, saved the game by striking out the last three batters, and we won the game 10-5. I got home and entered my stats on a piece of notebook paper. I also included the 5 putouts I made at first base. Then I had to do what I bet the Detroit Tigers never had to do. I had to go to the laundromat and grocery store with my mother. When I got home, I wanted to go to the lake and look for Gramps. My mother told me that I couldn't be too long because we were going to Grandma and Grandpa Moshina's house later. I went down and saw Gramps cleaning one of the rowboats. I had to change my t-shirt so my mother could wash it. But I still had my hat on. "Tommy boy, how's my Tommy boy?" I could hear him say. For some reason, hearing Gramps call me Tommy boy always put a smile on my face, no matter what my mood was. "Gramps, I had my first game today. 2 for 3 and a walk, 2 RBIs, 2 stolen bases, a run scored, and 5 putouts at first base," I said proudly. Gramps replied, "I think the Detroit Tigers could use you. Great game!" Gramps then asked me, "Did you hear the joke about the roof?" "No," I replied, wondering what he would say. Gramps said, "Oh, I can't tell you, because it's way over your head." I laughed and laughed. It was always fun to be around Gramps. Then he said, "So how's your love life? Are you able to fight away all the girls who want you to be their boyfriend?" I said with a smile, "Yes, it's tough, but I'm trying to keep them away. I told you that I got a note from a girl who liked me last Friday." Gramps smiled and said, "Oh, did you kiss her yet?" I blushed. "No, I haven't even talked to her." Gramps smiled again. "Well, what are you waiting for? I would have taken her out in a rowboat and kissed her by now." I just laughed and said, "I thought about talking to her, but I felt nervous about what to say." Gramps replied, "Hi, I'm Tom Moschina, the best looking, smartest, most athletic guy in the school, and I'm going to let you be my girlfriend for a while until I find someone better." We both just laughed. I knew I wouldn't say that, but I think Gramps was trying to tell me to be more confident. Later that night, I went to my grandparents' house. They live in Ferndale, which I considered to be the city. It had sidewalks. All the houses were close together and looked alike. Everyone there had very small yards. I got an uneasy feeling about being outside there. My grandparents had a house that would be considered a Cape Cod-style home, with two small bedrooms downstairs and one bedroom upstairs with a sloped ceiling. They had one bathroom, but it was bigger than ours and had a shower. They had a one-car detached garage. We had no garage. Stan had a two-car garage, Gramps had a two-car garage, and a boathouse. I started to believe there was something special about how big one's garage was. I enjoyed talking to my grandfather because he listened to every Detroit Tigers game on the radio, except for the occasional weekend televised game that he got to watch. As I walked in, Grandpa said, "I heard you had a good game today." "Yes, we won." As I continued to tell him my entire stat line, I asked, "How'd the Detroit Tigers do?" Grandpa said, "Great. The Tigers beat the Yankees 7-0 and now have 9 wins and only 3 losses. McAuliffe and Northrup hit home runs. And there's never been any like nearsighted Denny. Mickey Mantle couldn't touch him today." Grandpa was referring to the radio song about Denny McLean, who pitched wearing glasses. Mickey Mantle was one of the most famous players of the day, and as it turns out, it was his final season in the big leagues. It was special that McLean held one of the greatest hitters ever hitless. Then there was a knock at the door, and a man came in and introduced himself as Mr. Pete. His hair looked thin and greasy. He appeared to be dressed in work clothes. He had a strange laugh when he spoke. My mother said, "Tom, we are going out for a while. I'll be back later." I didn't say much. I didn't like the looks of this guy. There was no way he was going to be my father.